Mutual presents Teresa Bonney, observer and photographer for a number of American publications, who will report her observations on the situation in Finland. We take you now to Stockholm.
Hello, America. Hello, America. This is Stockholm, Sweden, calling the listeners of the Mutual Broadcasting System. We introduce you to Miss Therese Bonney, an American journalist who will give you an account of the American evacuation from Finland.
When the Russians invaded Finland, I had already been 4 months and a half in the country. I had photo interviewed everyone from their beloved President Kallio and the great idol of the Finnish people, Field Marshal Mannerheim, to the simplest soldier at the Finnish-Soviet border. I was the only foreign journalist allowed at the great maneuver in August. At that time, I made with a camera a telling story of that great army of the forest. I sensed what it was to face. It was my privilege to live 4 days with its men. I wrote in my diary at the time, I have the impression that I am assisting at a dress rehearsal. Hardly had the war broken out in Europe when I realized that the story to tell of Finland was that of Finland neutral but obliged to prepare. To save this camera record of this great little country, 5,000 negatives, and to get to the world the message of the last days before hostilities began and the first days of the invasion, I left Finland with the American citizens being evacuated. I wrote, moment by moment, with a flash cannon instead of the pen, the story of the removal of the American legation from Helsinki to Bagdankala, 17 kilometers from the capital, and then of the evacuation of the American citizens from Finland on December 4th. Tonight, I am to tell you the story of the flight into the night, of the admirable piece of organization done by both the American legations of Helsinki and Stockholm, of the debt we owe to Arthur Schoenfield, our minister in Helsinki, and to Frederick Sterling, our minister in Stockholm, and to his emissary extraordinary, Richard Birchman, whom he sent to Finland to get us. Our foreign service is often criticized by high-strung old maids traveling in Europe, or abrupt American businessmen who do not always understand its function. Under fire in Finland and Sweden, it certainly proved fine metal. It was arranged with the Swedish-American line that the good boat Castleholm should carry us westward. And for Auld Lang Syne, the line contributed the boat, allowing the U.S. government to pay only the fuel and provisions. We had a raft built and assembled provisions, raincoats and blankets, and watertight bags. For Russian submarines had always been reported in the area we were to cross, and minefields were everywhere. In the case of an attack, down we would have gone with the raft, and up we would have all bobbed again. This would be no story if I did not tell you of the courtesy, the thoughtfulness, the traditional kindness of the Finns who helped us in our flight. Thursday morning, November 30th, the good people of Helsinki, still convinced that peace was possible, heard the siren for the first time and slowly realized the negotiations had been in vain. Helsinki had for weeks been the mecca of quack journalists. As journalists, we often worked far into the night. So it was that this first air raid warning found us all sleeping soundly. To be awakened by a siren has the alarm clock beat hollow, especially when you know full well that you are waking up to history and the beginning of a war. Russian planes were at that moment over the city. I went immediately to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to secure the foreign minister's permission to photograph everything and all I might see. Mr. Erkel appreciated the difficulties and gave carte blanche. The corridors of the ministry were lined with packing cases, which had sprung up overnight. Evidence that the government was preparing to move valuable documents. Charred papers came floating in through the windows as I waited. Evidence that state papers were being burned in one of the furnaces. News came in of the bombing and destruction of the hospital at Enzo. Upstairs, I bumped into what proved to be the last meeting with Kallio and the cabinet, and the first one of the war. I climbed onto the roof of the ministry where air raid observers, silhouetted against the great church, were looking for Russian planes. Coming down, I met the Minister of Defense, leaving the cabinet meeting to attend one of the Council of Defense. Like in so many tense situations, there were light motives. On my way to the ministry, I saw and photographed an air raid warden standing before one of the principal buildings with an aluminum capsule strapped on his head as a helmet. All this and more, I was the only one to photograph. And the picture diary of these brief moments and of the evacuation of the American citizens is now on its way to America on the Clipper. What the camera could not record was the extraordinary calm of this remarkable people, of their forest-like silence before this unexpected attack, of the coordinated way everyone went about some task. At about 2, I went back to my hotel. Before ordering lunch, I went with some of my confreres to the Tower Hotel to see if we sighted any Russian planes. There were none. Hardly had we sat down to lunch when there was a terrific explosion. Steaks in our throats, we rushed out into the street. 10 or 8 Russian planes were over the center of the city. They had suddenly popped out of a low ceiling and dropped what looked like balloons and what proved to be firebombs. One of the bombs landed a block from my hotel on the Polytechnic School, and 9 other buildings were soon in flames. At 8, Parliament met. I crawled along the darkened streets to attend this historic meeting. Flashlights seen, it is said, for a distance of 3 miles were naturally tabooed. Later, I crawled to the Hotel Kemp, headquarters of the foreign prince. The hotel was archy full, buzzing with voices. Rumors were everywhere that Russians had given an ultimatum to the Finns, and that if at 2 a.m. the Finns had not surrendered, Helsinki would be destroyed. One must know the Finns to know the effect such another ultimatum would have had, had it been true. Finns take threats calmly, fearing nothing. The American military attaché, Major Frank Hayne, was in the camp at the time of the above rumor, and decided to take as many Americans as he could to Bad Ground Canal. I thought out and only took my negatives and my camera. At 1:30, we crawled out Helsinki in one of the blackest imaginable blackouts. The roads for miles were lined with phantoms, black silhouettes trekking away from the city. The old, the young, babies in arms, babies in carriages, an endless line of fleeing people. It took us over an hour and a half to make the 17 kilometers. We were stopped continually by police and military authorities. Bad Grankula, buried in a beautiful Finnish forest and famed as a spot for tired nerves, was a welcome haven. There were no beds. Hundreds had arrived before us. Those who slept that night slept on benches, in chairs, on the floor. The following morning, Erko came out from Helsinki for a conference with the American minister. At 1, bombing was audible, even at the distance we were from the capital. And it was evident that Helsinki was again under heavy fire. Planes flew right over the temporary legation. We all took to the forest. At 6, a legation car decided to venture into Helsinki. I returned with it. On the road, only a short distance from our starting point, an aerator brought us all up standing on the road with orders to proceed to the forest and fall on our faces. A few belongings or legation papers in hand, again we took our road back to the bad. Saturday, the minister told us that plans were being made to charter a boat to evacuate American citizens. This arranged, the rendezvous was for 5 p.m. the following day at the Macy's of Helsinki. One large suitcase or two small. Buses took all Americans who came to the rendezvous to the port of Turku and picked up as well the wives and children of the staff of Konkula. All these Sundays, rumors of devastating Russian air raids planned for Monday kept everyone in a feverish activity, and volunteers did an unbelievable job of evacuating the population of the capital. It was believed that there would be no air raids on Sunday, for it was said that the Russians had guaranteed a free day to the Germans for the evacuation of their own as well as the Italian citizens. One suitcase would not hold 5,000 negatives. Some 800 prints or photographs taken in the last 3 days before the war began, and which had to be gotten out of the country, in addition to cameras and 50 flashbulbs, the last in Finland, which were what helped me tell the story of our exodus. The Finns supplied me a military car, and thus I was able to save my record and go on with work in Stockholm. Through a fairly light snowstorm, we drove that night to port. Monday morning at 11, our boat arrived, and we sailed out at about 5. Our little mascot was a 2-week-old American baby, the youngest citizen in the exodus. Before we reached the entrance of the harbor, it was night. We arrived at the Aland Islands and waited there until morning, when a Finnish convoy of 5 Coast Guard ships and a submarine chaser escorted us through the mine region. Passengers hardly budged from the radio, so anxious for news. This was especially the case of the wives of the American legation staff left behind. We arrived in Stockholm Tuesday. Frederick Sterling and his wife, our minister in Stockholm, and the staff came aboard, drenched after 2 hours' wait in a pouring rain. They helped with the small children. Mrs. Sterling took the 2-week-old baby under her wing. The minister's car played taxi, taking different groups to their hotels. And thus the good ship's Castle Home, chartered by the American government, rendered great service, and all aboard felt real gratitude to a government as efficient and expeditious as ours.
You heard Miss Terry's Bonnie giving you an account of the American evacuation from Finland. We now take leave of the listeners of the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Stockholm calling you, and we hope that you've had a good reception. Goodbye.